good evening. We Tzurber Mirabanan Orachaim, and tonight is the 10th of Orachaim. We've just started the new volume. It's volume 9 of the series, and it's volume 2 of Orachaim. So we'll give a bit of a shkoach here to the Bronner family. That's Howard Abrams's Mechutin. Moshe Bronner, his family's in honor of not only the Bronners, it's his, and his sisters also, and the husbands, the Farmblums and Mondra families. And Rabbi Joseph Bronner, I knew him actually. He was a very influential guy in South Africa. He was Gotzmicha, I think, from Germany. And he went to America, a serious diamond dealer, big time in Chochem. He was actually an arbitrator in the courts, in the diamond exchange in South Africa, and diamond exchange in America, by the way. A very, very respected person. So it's a schut to be learning the volume tonight in his memory. And his son, Moshe, is a good friend of mine. Moshe Bronner, we actually trained together for the New York Marathon. So now we continue our discussion about tefillin. Okay, so we've already spoken tefillin, we've already spoken in the last two shurim about how tefillin are made, the structure of the tefillin, putting on the tefillin. We mentioned about when the Tami mentioned Rashi, etc. We also put a last shurim, we discussed actually where to place the tefillin, right? On the tefillin shaliyah, tefillin shorosh, with the knot inside, opposite the heart, on the bicep. On the head, like in the area above the hairline, between where the baby's head would have been, you know, like very soft. In that area, we also saw about how the knot was right in face of the, in line with the eyes, and etc. So tonight we're getting a little bit more into the actual detail of tefillin and wearing tefillin, etc. I think one of the things that stands out the most is that when you see the detail of tefillin, also how expensive tefillin is, and the effort made of tefillin, and the psukim mentioning tefillin, etc. So it's clear to us that tefillin is meant to be more than just putting on for davening in the morning, for shachrit. I think to me that seems clear. However, most of us, only, in fact, all of us in this room, but most of us, the people we know, only wear tefillin during shachrit, and the Tisha B'Av wear it at mincha. Somebody mentioned last week, also some guys wear it at mincha, and I also mentioned it. So we saw as well, and that's not so uncommon today, to see guys walking around Jerusalem, especially wearing tefillin the whole day and wearing tefillin. So there are people who do it. I don't think Yeshiva in South Africa, Yeshiva Gdol of Johannesburg, Rabbi Goldfein, Zecher Livracha, was Rosh Yeshiva. He had a minhag after Shachrit, he would sit and learn for about an hour and a half every morning after Shachrit with tefillin on. In fact, in our Daf Yomi Shir, many Gershkos used to wear tefillin for the Daf Yomi Shir. So we'll see. It's not an off the wall minhag. It is an Indian in doing a bit of learning with tefillin. Yeah, we'll get to that. So the biggest problem that we start off here with tefillin is a difficulty, because tefillin is literally dependent on a clean body, and that's a big problem. That if to the extent that we'll see later on, I'm jumping the gun, I'm just putting into context. If you've got a stomach infection, or if you can't control yourself and you're passing wind all the time, you actually patru from tefillin. Shulchan Aruch. By mistake, back inside, I'm going to open. I'll read it to you. Yeah. We're going to get to this now. But yeah, Lamed Chet, Shulchan Aruch, 38, 738. Who's obligated in tefillin? Who's patru from tefillin? If someone's got an intestinal sickness, patru mit tefillin, full stop, exempt. And the Ramah says, "Afilu ein lo tzar," even if it's not painful for him, it's not a guy suffering. If you can't control your stomach and you pass your window, you patur on tefillin. Don't wear them. Aval shar chole, other people says Ramah, if they're suffering, then they're patur. If they aren't suffering, they're not patur. But the tefillin causes you pain. But stomach problems. Anybody else who's sick, and tefillin might cause it to be a problem for him. Not necessarily stomach problems. If wearing tefillin is painful for them, he's patur. You are meant to be. It's a mitzvah. You're meant to suffer from it. But I'm saying the stomach issues, if it's not painful, some guys, yeah, they don't even notice, and they're just passing wind all day long, and they can't help themselves. A person that gets patur from tefillin. So we can really get to understand that wearing tefillin is a serious responsibility. So now the Gemara in Shabbos, right, we're starting Shabbos, as opposed to Nachot, we've been seeing lately. I'm Rabbi Yanai. Tefillin shechin gufnaki keilisha bal knafai. Remember this Gemara, Rabbi, in Shabbos, keilisha bal knafai? Remember Steve? Anybody along to you there in Shabbos also, right? Remember bal knafai? Where the guy ran in the marketplace and the tefillin turned into a bird and flew away. Anyhow, so he says that tefillin needs a clean body, like Elisha Baknafai. Mahi, so what does it mean, a clean body? So Abai Machloket Yamorai. Abai says, Shlo Yafiach with it, he won't pass wind. And Rava says, Shlo Yishan with it, he won't sleep with it. Now, does Rava say that you can't pass wind? And does Abai say you can't sleep? No. Right? The question is, where do they place the emphasis? Because let's think about it for a second. sleeping also includes passing wind, right? Because if you're sleeping at night, if you're sleeping with your tefillin on, you don't know, you aren't in control of your body. You might be passing wind. Where passing wind doesn't necessarily include sleeping. Okay? That's the little between Rabbi and Abaya. Okay, the Gemara asks a question here, why is he called Balkanah 5? We're not going to that now. It's not relevant to us. It's a nice Gemara to answer. The Rashi says over here on the Gemara, the Lashloi Afiach, that you shouldn't pass wind. The English translation says passing gas. I don't know if there's any difference, okay? But he says, "Shiachol la'midatzo b'shat haruach," a person who's able to control himself. So if you can prevent yourself, you're able to control yourself, then you can wait for it. If you can't, then you aren't able to withhold their story. And a Rabbi who says, "Lo yishan b'hem," right? Because Rabbi says, "Yeah, what's the problem with sleeping?" Well, then the two problems with sleeping: one is you might actually pass wind or pass gas, also you might have a seminal discharge, right? But if you are certain, he says, Rashi, that you will have a clean body, then maybe it's okay. You know, if I don't know how you can do that. It's interesting that the Rambam in Hilchot Tefillin, right, says over there, Kedusha Tefillin is a Kedusha Gedolehi. Right, he says it's, there's a tremendous amount of Kedusha in the Tefillin. She calls much Tefillin Brosho Shel Adam Va'al Sho'o. Every time it's on his head, on his arms, who Anav Yerushalayim, he becomes humbled, he's a fearful person of God. He behaves himself, isn't likely, you know, dragged away, and if we see Chabetayda, he does talk nonsense. He doesn't think bad things. Rambam seems to say that Tefillin have got this, like, almost like this extra natural power. That when they went to Shul, Rambam says, right? That the, you know, the Rambam on that night, the Rambam, I think Rambam says, he cancelled Chazar Hashatz in his Shul. For that reason, because people were talking so much. He cancelled it. Right? So Robert's right. In his shul, I can assure you that the people there, they didn't, right? Rama went to his shul. That's the problem. We're going to the other shul. The other shul's not bad. So that's what I said. Now, the question is also not just a question of keeping your body clean, but also the issue of focusing on the Tefillin. Right? There's an idea of Hesech Hadat. Remember, we discussed this before, about losing focus on what you're doing. So there's a Gemara in Shabbos as well. Another Gemara in Shabbos. It was Amar Rabbi Bar Huna Chayev Adam LeMashmesh Tefillin Kol Shavu Shabbos. A person has to touch his Tefillin every hour. And where do we know that from? The Kavachon, from the Tzitz. Now what's the Tzitz? That's what the Kohen Gadol had on his head, right? Kodesh LaHashem. The Kohen Gadol had a golden template on his head. It says Ma Tzitz Shein Bo Eras Krachar. Only mentions God's name once. It says Kodesh LaHashem with that, right? And right now the Torah says, "Vaya'al mitzchot tamid tzpid all the time," meaning you can't show yasiach datom, and you can't forget about it, you can't lose focus on it. Tefillin sheyashkan askra harbet. How many times Hashem has mentioned either on the tefillin, in the tefillin, etc., all the psukim, alachat kama v'kama. So we see over there that it's pretty, and the Shulchan Aruch goes with that, with the Gemara. Says, "Chayav lemashmesh tefillin b'chosha." Person should touch his tefillin every hour. Why shlo yasiach datom? We shouldn't forget about them, lose focus, lose concentration. V'yashmesh b'shaliyat tchila, and first touch the hand, and then because it says ukshartem leot, the pasuk in the order, the pasuk in the Torah says first your hand and then your head. Ukshartem leot, first just touch your hand, and then just touch your hand. When you say v'otot benecha, yemashmesh b'shorosho. When you say v'otot benecha, touch. Now I've got a problem over here. Because the Shulchan Aruch says that a person touches every time. When you say ukshartem leot al yadecha, touch your hand, and when you say for benecha, touch your eyes. The Mishnah Brura on that. Okay, and Rav Shimon Ara, I wanted to speak about Rav Shimon Ara a little bit, but we're not going to have time today. I actually wanted to even more bring a safety about it. Rav Shimon Ara was one of those American Talmidei Chachamim that wrote in English. You heard of Ida? That's the Rabbi Ida, no? He's like the expert on mikveh and on Eruv and on Shabbos and on Tefillin, by the way. But he was brought to South Africa. David Tanzer was brought to South Africa to the Arab in Johannesburg, the first Arab he actually brought, and to build the mikveh. He brought him out to build the mikveh. One of these gedolim, brilliant guys, learned in at Gotzvich from Moshe Feinstein, was in Lakewood in New Jersey. And he wrote his svarim in English. What was unique to his svarim, I go, but I want to read it. It's actually printed like a soft cover. You see this one? Have you got them? They're very soft covered stuff. Nothing fancy about them. Almost like top of the typewriter. I've got the other ones as well. And then, but it was written in English, but the footnotes are all in Hebrew. Think about it. The top is in English, but the footnotes, you can even learn in English, but you want to really learn properly, you've got to know the Hebrew. And you've got all Makorot, like it's a big, big page, like a big oversized A4 page. I don't know what it's called in America, a folio of something, I don't know what it's called, like a big page, no? And you've got like just over a third is the English, and then like the bottom two thirds like footnotes. It's unbelievable stuff. Anyhow, so that was Rav Ida. So he's a guy who wrote in English, so he's mentioned over here. So he wrote on Tefillin. He's got a very big set on, he wrote on Tefillin, Hilchot Tefillin as well. He's got Svi, he's got on Nida, he's got on Shabbos, he's got on Lulav, he's got on Eruvin, he's got on Psachim, he's got on everything you can think of. Unbelievable. Right? So, but he quotes here, right through Rabbi Ida, and the Mishnah Brewer. Now, again, the Mishnah Brewer is a mistake of here. If you want to fix it up, it's 28.2, not 38.2. Right? It's Kafchet. He says over here that this doesn't apply, this only applies when you're not davening. Now, I personally don't understand that Mishnah Brewer, because the Shulchan Aruch says, when he says, when else do you say that if not during Kriyashma? So I don't understand. And there's a lot of people you'll see in Shul, the Minag, they do actually touch their tefillin during Kriyashma, and they do it. So when you say, they touch their tefillin here, and they touch the head. I don't know people do that, so it's quite a good thing. Okay. So now, we see it's a big thing. We spoke about it at the very beginning. You've got to be controlled. So now the very fact that you've got to control yourself and be more mature about it, obviously begs the question, when do you start wearing tefillin? Because you give a tefillin to a little kid, not going to do very well. Because kids, as a rule, you know, they aren't so disciplined, even adults. So the question is, when do you start? The Shulchan Aruch here discusses a katan. All right, he says over here, and I actually brought the Shulchan, I want to look inside it over here. He says over here, the same simon that Abzai Zbarach says that the gadol of the Scharbitz, we saw this already, right, that you wear it. It's mitzvah yot lav kol yom. The Shulchan Aruch should be on you the whole day. So every mitzvah shechichim guf nakish lo yafiach mehem shlo yidal mehem ein kol adam yechol yikon or control them. Therefore, the minhag is not put them all the time. However, you should put them on at least peshat kriyat shma and tefillah. That's the Shulchan Aruch says. At least wear kriyat shma if you shed the tefillah on. That's where we come to this minhag of wearing them during the morning in shachrit. Then yeah, in siman lamed zayin sif katan gimel says there katan. A katan who knows how to conduct himself, guard his tefillin with impure purity. Now there are two aspects to the purity, right? The one is the purity of the tefillin itself, the sanctity of the tefillin itself, and the sanctity of the body. They both go together, right? But tefillin on its own. And he says of Yashelo Yishan Velo Yafiach. What does that sound like? Both Rava and both Abaya. Right? I remember Abaya said Shelo Yafiach, he shouldn't pass gas, and Rava said, don't sleep. So the Shulchan Aruch is not taking chances getting involved in an argument to the Gemara. He mentions them both. Okay? And the Rama says, and also be sure that a child won't go into the toilet with it. If he's a child like that, who's able to conduct himself properly, he won't sleep with them, he won't go to the toilet, he won't pass gas, and he won't go into the bathroom with them, then he says, his father has to buy him tefillin and educate him. The Rama says, mind blowing. Says, and who are we speaking about when we say a katan? Yeah, a guy who's 13 years old in a day. Now, a guy who's 13 years old in a day, halachically, is not a katan. Right? And look at what the Rama says. This is the minhag, don't change it. Okay? Now, it's quite interesting. I'm reading here because this is exactly what he brings us whole story. I'm reading inside because I want to just for a reason. If you look over here, the Mishnah Brura on that says, that's the minag. The Mishnah would say, "Ever v'achshav nagul aniach shtayim or shlosha choshim kolim asban." The Mishnah says, "We've got a minag today to do it 2 or 3 months before." It wasn't in England. When did you stop putting on tefillin? The average person, a month before. And you? And you? Well, you're saying you American. When did you put one in? When did you, Robert? Huh? You lost? Okay, so we did in our school for some reason, I don't know why, we all started putting tefillin like close to a year before, but it was ridiculous because you become obligated, you got to, without a brocha, but you got to put it on there. Once you put it on, you got to put it on. So, without a brocha. I don't think we made a brocha. Maybe Paschal next Friday, they make a brocha on a minute. I don't know. Okay, well, I don't think I made a brocha. But definitely a month is running 2 to 3 months, okay, a few months before. So there are, the Mishnah Brura says, can you see me, Michael? The Mishnah Brura says 2 to 3 months. Right? He says, Vachar Vayam Birala, and he quotes the Menag Avraham. The Aruch HaShulchan, right? Aruch HaShulchan brings this whole long discussion here about why, etc., etc. I was going to bring it, but I haven't got time to get it now. And he actually says that the Menag should be about a month. Now, what's mind boggling is that the Aruch HaShulchan lived in Navorna, and the Mishnah Brura lived in Radin, more or less the same time. Right, that's like from here to, I don't know, to Haifa. And he says 2 to 3 months, he says 1 month. So I don't know. Obviously, I only lived you under there at the time, or in Belarus, or wherever they were. But basically, between a month and 3 months seems to be like the right amount of time. That's for Ashkenazim. Now, look over here. Yalkut Yosef says, remember the Shulchan Aruch says, that a kid who's able to control himself, and he doesn't pass wind, doesn't go to sleep with his tefillin on, he won't go into the Torah as far as the Ramah says, right? Chayav Ramnik Avivitot Tefillin. But that doesn't mention 2-3 months. This guy could be 7-8 years old. So Yalkut Yosef says, this is Ravad Yosef's son, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, he writes there like this, Katan shegile chinuch, v'adayin lo shalmu lo shlosh reshanim, if he hasn't yet been 30 years old, im yodel ishwas ovetar v'nikyut kufo, if he can control his body, then his hash lo shlo yefeach im atfilin, and he won't pass wonder there, mitzvah al aviv lechancho b'mitzvah tfilin, shana o shnataim lifnei sheh bar mitzvah, 1 or 2 years before his bar mitzvah. So he says, look what he says, v'chein minag b'nei Adam Mizrach, and this is the custom for the Asfardim at Rabbi Zrach, says in Eretz Yisrael, "Etzel kol mi sheyodeya lishmor et nekiut kufo." Paskin strongly. So this is minag in Israel for Rabbi Zrach. The children can look after themselves. Two years before the mitzvah, stop putting on tefillin. Okay, that's quite interesting. Now, I already mentioned the idea here of a stomach ache. So I'll skip it over here. The Shulchan Aruch that we saw in Orachan Mechet, you could part it from a stomach ache. Look, Robert, I'll ask the question. When it says here that patur mina tefillin, does it mean that he's that it's asur to wear tefillin, right? So Abaye would say that's how this right. So Lawrence points out, if you look in the Gemara, right, the Gemara says Amar tefillin tzrichin guf naki kriyshav Abaye mahi Abaye omer shlo yafiach bahen. So he would say that your conditions for actually being able to wear them, or that you got a clean body. So when the Shulchan says you patur from it, he already says you patur because you aren't in allowed it because of the Gemara. That's how I would say it. It's not written in halacha like that. Okay, but it's implied. I think that what Lance is saying is correct, that it's implied. I wanted to see the Mishnah Berurah himself actually said anything like that, but he doesn't. But we'll see just now that the Aruch HaShulchan will mention with regards to women. You know, this is a good chart, Pamek. Let's do it in context. If you go, turn to page 42, and you look at the Aruch HaShulchan there on 36, comment 36, it's like this. Women are patur on tefillin, and if there's a machloket, okay? So I've jumped the gun, so let's do it properly in context. The Mishnah says in Brachot, I'm on page 41, that women, nashim v'varim k'tanim, they always go together, right? It's a package deal, women, slaves, and children. Not because we compare women to slaves, because all of them are bound by the same type of mitzvah. Slaves are bound by mitzvahs as women because they aren't the master of their own time. So he says that they are patur from krishma and from tefillin. The Gemara says, pshita, what's the question? The Gemara says, no, because tefillin on the same, mentioned this Torah with mezuzah, right? So you might think, so women are chayiv in mezuzah, they must be chayiv in tefillin. So therefore, the Gemara says, we have to actually tell you that they're patur from tefillin. I think there's a story there about Michal Bat Kushi that was King Saul's daughter that she put on tefillin velo, and the Chachamim didn't object to it. There's a Yerushalmi which says the opposite. The Yerushalmi says on the contrary that the Chachamim did object to it. There's a steer between the Yerushalmi and this and the Bavli. But yeah, be that as it may. Interesting. Robert says it's Mitzvah Shasman Grama. Now, why would you think it's Mitzvah Shasman Grama? I don't want to jump around too much, but we will get to that. Because you don't wear it on Shabbos and Yontif. Interesting, we'll see just now a machloket rishonim about whether you wear tefillin at night or not. Almost all the rishonim, including the Shulchan Aruch, of the opinion that mitzvah to wear tefillin at night. We don't wear it at night because we're scared that you might fall asleep with it. But tefillin or not is also to wear at night. As opposed to the Rambam, the Rambam is the only one we'll see just now who says that it's a mitzvah only during the day or at night. The Rambam actually has a limud, a pasuk of the Torah, but he's almost a dat yachid. So mitzvah are, like Robert pointed out, mitzvah asher shazman grama, time-bound mitzvah, but not because you don't wear them during the day, because you don't wear them on Shabbos and Yontif. Because Shabbos, tefillin is called an ot, and Shabbos and Yontif is called an ot. You don't wear an ot with an ot, so you pack it from the ot on Shabbos. So that's why it's a time-bound, but not because you don't wear them in the day and the night. I would have thought, before I prepared this shiur, honestly, it was a chisaron in my knowledge, I really wasn't aware of that. Maybe I learned once and I forgot. I wasn't aware of that. So it's quite interesting that is why. But now, come back to the issue of women over here. So it says over here, so the Gemara says that if you want, they can wear it. Well, it doesn't say that, just their patrick, right? So there's Adam's question. They can't or not? See, women, doesn't say they can't, just a woman, like Rabbi would say, or a buyer would say, they don't sleep with them, they don't pass when they should be okay. Maybe we wouldn't have got an extra product because they have menstrual cycles. If they know their cycle, then it's also okay, right? So here there's an example of Bichaba, Kushi Machloket between the Gemaras. Interesting thing over here is that what's the concern? So the Tosfot and the Ritva all say, look at the Shulchan Aruch here, Nashim Vali Peturim 35, Vipin Neshahu Mitzvah Lashash Man Grammar, like Robert said, because it's a time bound mitzvah. And the Ramah says, if women want to put them on, Mochin Biyadad, we object. We don't allow it. Right? So now look at this. The Aruch HaShulchan on there says, women are put from mitzvah, from tefillin, paragraph 36 there. Put from tefillin, and if they want to put them on, we object. Why? Since tefillin need to be very careful with your clean body, even women, and how did I get to this? Because I was discussing your question of, are we mechuyav, meaning that you patru, that you aren't allowed or you are allowed. Listen to the Aruch HaShulchan's line of thinking. He says over here, that woman, he says, even men who are mechuyav, who have got a mitzvah to put on tefillin, behechrach sheyizaru bahem b'shach krishma tefillah, and certainly to be careful while they're wearing tefillin. But they don't wear during the whole day. So even they've got a mitzvah, men have got a mitzvah the whole day to wear tefillin, and they don't wear tefillin the whole day. They just make a point of putting it for tefillin for shachrit and at for shema and ashmon ashrei. V'lachen ein echol v'im ken nashim shiptra evesis. That's the case. Men who are chayiv, they only wear it for such a limited amount of time because they're scared they control their body. So women, he says, who are patur, what do they want to get themselves into this trouble for? Lama yachnisu atzman b'chashash kadol kaze. Why get involved in such a mess? Men who are chayiv don't wear it the whole day. You are patru. What do you want it for? He says, "All right." Ve'etzlan b'shach kreshma utfida k'lanashim kol hayom. He says, therefore, he says, and then women during shema and tefillah are like men during the whole day. So men during the whole day don't wear them. Women during shema also shouldn't wear them. The same thing applies. Tefichach emin echilotan niachfis. He says, there we don't have to put on tefillah. So interesting, just when you say patru, do you say not? He says the women are patru, therefore stay away. So I would eventually say that the same thing over here, men are patru. If you patru, don't take a chance. Right? Because why put yourself into that mess? It's such a scary thought, Kabbalistically, etc., and all of that. What do you want to get involved in that for? Okay. So while we're on the issue of women, let's just quickly finish off the issue of I think we're actually done the issue of women personally. I think that I mentioned brewery over here, although there is notes over here that there's stories about Rashi's daughter. There's no real proof for that, by the way. It seems like a bit of a legend. Rabbi Yehuda Henkin, I've mentioned his father before, right? Remember I mentioned about Henkin, I told you once about Henkin, he was like the gadol in New York before Moshe Feinstein arrived in America. He was like the gadol in New York. So his son actually came to Israel. He got quite involved in a whole lot of stuff. So he's got a book called The Shut B'nai Banim. He says, "V'ein lach laniach tefillin k'mo shekavu b'poskim b'rechaim v'yitir talmud Torah l'isha l'tzorech aval tefillin ein lam l'tzorech v'yesh l'chazek l'akeshi l'dat b'ofanim achim." He says, the Chachamim let women learn Torah because there was a need for it, because obviously it became time in the generation where women needed to learn Torah. He says, "They don't need to put on tefillin." He says, rather try and encourage them to get involved in other aspects of Yiddishkeit, to stay away from tefillin. Rabbi Eliezer Melamed in Pinei Halacha. I meant to send this out to you, and I started looking at my watch, and I saw it later. I was in the middle of looking this up to WhatsApp it to all of you. They're quoting me over here that there is a Malamed in the notes here on page 43, note 21. He says that he's one of the few poskim who's slightly more lenient, as he was concerning women wearing tzitzit as well. And he writes, if a woman does so privately, shouldn't protest. And if someone comes to ask a shayla, then tell her not to do it. It's one of those things, you know, that you might have Amorinken, and it's quite interesting. Like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about the tefillin charutzot, that whole I think in women and tefillin is going to still be a thing of the future. We're going to get a bit more used to it, I think, much more than chachamim would like to. I think it's going to just happen, and it's one of those, huh? Women and tefillin. I think it's going to be one of the things that's going to happen, whether we like it or not. It's going to happen. Okay. So let's now go back. We changed the order a little bit. And go back now to the issue of sleeping with tefillin. So now we've seen that really you can't. I'm going back now to page 30. Okay? So you can't. We saw that when we had a machloka between Rav and Abaye, what was the reason why? You know, what conditions do you have to wear with tefillin? We said you have to have a guf naki. What's a guf naki? One said that you shouldn't sleep with them. One said you shouldn't pass wind. So it seems almost like a stupid question. What do you mean sleeping with them? It's obvious you can't sleep with them, right? That's why you're raising your eyebrows, correct? So there seems to be a difference between a shayna kavua, like a proper sleep, keva, like going to have a proper sleep, getting into bed, putting your pajamas, closing the switching off the lights, getting under your duvet, closing your eyes and saying, Krishma, I'm going to sleep, right? To having a nap. So now, for guys who are sitting there with tefillin on the bed, midrash all day long, let's say, and we're not doing that, but you know, and you're sitting there and you get a bit tired. So, or in day if you're tired, you can see, like sometimes guys come to Vatikin, you know, and in the morning and they're dozing off, you see it on Shavuot, but you're not wearing tefillin. But let's say that during the week you get comfortable very early. Put this way, I sit next to a guy in Shul, you all know, who pops off at least 4 times every Shachrit. Okay? Properly falls to sleep, like dozes off like that. So that's Michael doesn't wear tefillin when he falls off. He has to be only listening to Mashir to fall asleep. In Davian falls asleep, right? But the question here is in Masechet Brachot. Tarabadan lo yachoz adam tefillin biyado v'sefer Torah b'zro v'palel. Person shouldn't hold lo yachoz adam tefillin in yado or sefer Torah b'zro v'palel v'yitpalel. V'lo yashtin behem mayim, you shouldn't urinate with them either. V'lo yishan behem, so you shouldn't urinate with them. You shouldn't daven holding sitting at these things. You'll fall asleep. V'lo yishan behem, v'lo shenat kev, v'lo shenat. Neither shenat kev, nor shenat tarai. That's the Gemara. Holding your tefillin, you shouldn't even hold your tefillin in your hand. Shenat kev, shenat tarai. So it seems over here that tefillin is that sleeping is out of the question. Okay, there's a Gemara here, Masechet Sukkah, which we saw. I'm going to skip it out for the meantime. I'm going straight here to the Rosh. Page 31 here, paragraph 15 of the Rosh there. The Rosh says like this. V'im tomar, v'heach shenat arai mutar. Where do we get this from that maybe, because the Gemara in Sukkah over there, we speaks about the difference between shenat arai and shenat keva. Okay, the first Gemara in Brachot seems to say across the board, irrevocably out of the question. But the Gemara in Sukkah, we seem to talk about maybe you could have a bit of a nap with tefillin. So the Rosh says, what's going on here? We've all seen about the Rosh, right? The Rosh, we know the Rosh already, the Rosh ran away. We discussed him in the very first shir, I think. Ran away from during the time of the Marami Rottenberg, he ran to Spain, he became the governor of the Rashba in Spain. He's the father of the Tur, right? And that basically like the archetypal system, the Beit Yosef wrote his commentary on the Tur, and the Shulchan Aruch is based on the Tur. So the Rosh is the grandfather of the Shulchan Aruch, right? So genetically. I mean, not his father, read his grandfather. He's the father of the Tur, but the Shulchan Aruch is like the grandchild of the Rosh, okay? So he said like this, how can it be this idea of Shenat Arai? Isn't it, if he says, forget about even if you can't, if you aren't going to pass gas. But just we spoke about Hesech Adat, losing focus while you're sleeping. This is an amazing thing. That's why I wanted to bring it up here. So he said like this, when he falls asleep, he's now lost concentration. Now this is a heter for all these guys who sleep in shiurim. He has proof that you actually are still concentrating, right? He says, "Vayah omer Rav Yoneza." So he quotes Rabbi Yonah of Gerona, right? We'll see in a moment, Rabbi Yonah in a second. Remember, we learned it the other day, the Share Tshuva, and we discussed the Sefer Share Tshuva. So Rabbi Yonah of Gerona, right? He was in the 1100s. I think that the late 1200s, Rabbi Yonah, right? So late 1200s. So he writes there, he says like this, that from he quotes the Rambam, from Hilchot Tefillin. He says, Matzanu terus lema, we found an answer to this question of napping with Tefillin on. He says, the law have a Hesech Adat. It's not Hesech Adat. Why is Hesech Adat? What is Hesech Adat? When do we say that you've lost focus and concentration, etc.? He says, Ela kashe omed bekalut rosh ubeschok. Hesech Adat is when you joke around, or you're light-headed, or you're not focused. That's what Hesech Adat is. He's not going to sleep. Right? Aval kashe omed beyira umtasek betshachav. But a person who's in fear and doing what he has to do. Aval bisho sek bemelachto uve emunato uve eindato ale mamash. But you say, you're learning or you're davening, but you aren't thinking about your tefillin. That's not called Hesech Adat. It's the same thing. The guy's learning and learning and learning. Start getting ready. The last thing in his mind is his tefillin. The story is about Rav Chai, what was his name? The Tels Rav, Rav Reza Gordon of Tels, that they had on his shtender, actually had a lock on the door. He said it was like a box. They used to lock him in for the Shemona Asra. This is a story of David Lindsay Gordon, not long ago, less than probably 100 years ago. Because we used to daven the Shemona Asra, to give such a chance, he used to wander around the Beit Midrash. That they actually put a lock on, stopped the Shemona Asra, closed the bolt. So he couldn't get out. Now he wasn't thinking about his tefillin. Is that called Hesech Hadat? Obviously not. That's what he said to Rambam here. He says, V'chainami, so too, k'shemidnamne, when you go to sleep and you doze off. And kan Hesech Hadat. This is called Hesech Hadat. You aren't thinking about something else. You mean nothing. He forgets the whole world. It reminds me of the idea of on Purim. On Purim is a mitzvah that Gemara says, you've got to get a little bit intoxicated. What that means, you don't know the difference between Mordechai and Haman. And the disciples will say, go to sleep. Don't drink, go to sleep. When you sleep, you don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. So that's not called Hesech Hadat. That's fulfilling a mitzvah, go to sleep. That's the same idea what he's saying. Yes. Anyhow, so that is it. Now, Yeah. Interesting. Steve makes a good point. The talus, okay, but okay, the talus is on you. So when it falls off you, the talus should be on you all the time. You're right. A good question. You know, it's not consistent, this Hesech Hadat story, right? So now, according to the Rosh and Rabbi Yonah, it seems to be permitted to be able to nap, right? And the Gemara says over here in the notes, this is also the opinion of the Balaam order. Who is the Balaam order? Now it's interesting because you've got Rabbi Yonah, you've got the Rosh, the right, and you've got the Balaam order. The Balaam order is a very important guy. It's worthwhile knowing about this because you might have heard of a sefer called Milchamot Hashem. Heard of a sefer called Milchamot Hashem of the Ramban? The Ramban wrote a book called Milchamot Hashem, which is, I think it's printed with a sefer HaMitzvot. The Rif, we'll talk about the Rif, right? That's Abdel Fassi. Like the oldest, like one of the first Rishonim, and he was the first guy who wrote, like he took out got it from the Gemara in the back where he went, Ayesh Talocha. The Rav Zarchia Levi, was it from Provence? He wrote a Sefer basically attacking the Rif, like a challenge, as I got on the Rif. And the Ramban in the late, 200 later, whatever, wrote a Sefer, Milchamot Hashem, defending the Rif from the Baal HaMa'or. Okay, that's interesting. So it's good to know these things. They all fit in here. So he says over here, and also the thing is that Rav Zarchia Levi also was from Provence, originally, and Rabbi Yonah also from Provence, and the Ramban was also born in Girona. He was born in, no, that he was born not in Girona. Ramban was born near Spain, near Barcelona. What's it called? Girona, right? So why don't you place that? Okay. So now, so that's what he says over here. So he says, hey, the bottom of or, right? But the Rivet, now, the Ramban was born in Girona. Yeah. If you go to Girona today, they show you where the Ramban was born, but it's nonsense because the city was a completely different city in the time of the Ramban. There's actually a sign up there, the Ramban's house. If you go to the Ramban's house. So, The Rivet also a very important person. There's Avram ben David of the Rivet, right? Also from Provence. They're all from south of France. All these guys hang around that area. The reason why the Rivet's so important is because the Rivet, firstly, was older than the Rambam, but he wrote a Hasagot on the Rambam. And he challenged the Rambam quite a lot. And he also wrote a Hasagot on the Rif, if I'm not mistaken. And he says that it's forbidden absolutely altogether to go to sleep with wearing tefillin whatsoever. The Rambam, he says, takes a middle line. Because the Rambam says here on 16 here, on page 32. Rambam says, tefillin tshuchin guf nakish nesh lo tetzeh min ruach bilamata kos ban shem alav. You've got to be careful not to pass any wind. Leficha chasur yishan behem shlosh nakev lo shnari. You shouldn't sleep with him. Ela, we saw this the other day, by the way, in Masechet Sukkah. Remember this in Daf Yomi. He says, if he puts some sort of cloth on them and he's not with a woman in the room, and then he can sleep for a nap. And how does he sleep? Says the Rambam. Remember this? The Gemara Masechet Sukkah. He leans his head in between his knees and he sort of like leans like this. You can't really sleep very well. And remember that? We learned that in Masechet Sukkah. Okay. So that is the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch says that anytime it's on you, you shouldn't sleep, not even a temporary sleep. He says, unless you've got basically word for word of the Rambam. The Piskei Tshuvas, now this is the modern passage we've seen a lot, this is Rabinovich. He's like this. Yeshli mutz, leshli mutzchut al elu sherasham nishmat al atzalei dehem betnuma kalak shetfilin al rasham ozram. He says that we can actually give people the benefit of the doubt if they do doze off with tefillin on their heads. Even for more than 54 seconds, we said that we didn't discuss it with the others. They mentioned that how you walk, how long it takes you to walk about a minute. Until you have to wake him up. Calls bunch and he caralab as long as it's clear. Shalom ishta kevshe isn't falling deep into his sleep. See, the guy's just popping off like this. Well, you don't have to keep on waking him up. You don't have to keep waking up. It's okay. Right? Well, if he, remember we learned last week, we coined a phrase that said, Ki the Torah lo nidala malachei ha-sharet. Remember we said that the Torah wasn't given to angels. That I was expecting it to be said over here, but it's not. Funny enough. He says, Ulefi diram kubalim. He says, on the kubalim, yeshli malagam, you should be very careful not to sleep, but not even for a moment. Listen to what he says. Last week we learned, if you remember that, it's amazing how the halachas come together. Last week we learned about how important it is for tefillin to be in the right place. Remember? And we said that if it's not in the right place, it's a suffix that you actually aren't being yotzei with tefillin. So what does he give as a solution to Piskei Teshuvah? If a guy's sleeping, what does he say? Just move the tefillin a little bit. And now it's not considered he's wearing tefillin. Look what he says here. V'imei ziza tefillin shirosh v'shel yad, legamrei mimkomam shapi tefillaka, then it's okay, just move it around. U'mishni damet tefillin afilu avav yashan shna kevet. Now here comes an interesting halacha. This is a great halacha, this. Because we spoke a moment ago about Hesech Adat. Now, you used to mention the talus, right? With talus, we said if it falls off, you make another brocha, right? He says, look into this. So here comes the two sides of the coin. He says, Mishanir Dambatin, a person who fell asleep with tefillin, afilu avravi ashan shakir, even if he went and had a full night's sleep in the end, eino choser mevarech kashem mekitzer, when he wakes up in the morning, he's about to make a new brocha. Why? Because the tefillin went in the whole time. Then make a new brocha. Kevan she'atin alav kol otoy on the whole time. However, im chalatz atfilin al menat lishon, if he took the loaf to go to sleep, afilu shnat harai, and he only had a short nap, chozer u'mevarech kelov shan shav, you have to make another brocha. So in other words, if you have a whole night's sleep for 7 hours, the tefillin on you, you get up in the morning, you don't make a new brocha. You take them off to go have a shlof for 10 minutes, you're going to make another brocha. Okay, that's the two sides of the coin. Okay, I think the last thing left for us to discuss here now, we discuss women, we discuss wearing tefillin, all the way, okay, is really eating and drinking wearing tefillin. It doesn't apply to us too much. Because most of us don't really wear tefillin the whole day, most of us don't eat breakfast with tefillin, and most of us don't wear tefillin. So let's go through very quickly. Quotes a Gemara over here, Masechi Bracho, Taf Kaf Gimel. It's like an Arab Yitzchak. If you're going to go into a big meal, Surat Kevra, like a main, big meal, again, to have a big sit down, vas in the whole story. Cholet tefillin v'achar kach nichlash. First take off, then you go into the meal. U'plig Rabbi Chia, and that Rabbi Yitzchak here argues with Rabbi Chia. Because Rabbi Chia says what? Meinichin al shulchano. The chen hidur, he says, you take them in and you actually put them on the table. Let everyone see your tefillin. It's a hidur that you carry your tefillin around. Show them off. Right? So the question is, how long do you keep your tefillin off for now with the meal? So the Amrav Nachman by Yitzchak adzman brocha till benching. So you bench, you put them back on. But that's only if it's a kever, right? That only if it's a main meal. Look at Rashi over here. What's Rashi's problem? Why can't you wear them during a meal? Not because eating is a problem at all. Look at Rashi over here. Shema yishtaker besuda. V'itkanem yitfilei. You might get drunk eating them at the meal and then it's going to be disgusting. So you take them off, not because eating is a problem. Eating is not a problem at all. And that's why that the poskim don't have a problem with you eating. The question is the main meal, because you might come to drink. So I would maybe, look at the Beit Yosef here. He says, yeah, on page 36, 21 over here. He says, if you're having a snack, not. Now the question is, Chazal have got a very, 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 very special, specified measurement of what a snack is. It's not what we'd call a snack. I think we'd call a snack a lot more than what Chazal call a snack. Chazal was back having a kibbutz, maybe two kibbutzes, like two eggs. What's it, about 100 grams? And I think there's a measure over here, so I'm not mistaken. Says often like it's having a volume of approximately 55 grams, but that's one egg. But two eggs are about 100 grams. So not a lot, eh? Like if you have like one of those energy bars, you don't have to take a tefillin off for that. Okay? But for a full-time meal, you should. Mishnah Berurah says as well that he said the chayin sukkah. Okay, same idea. Yeah, that seems to be the opinion over here. Then, as far as wearing tefillin all day, we discussed it. That this is quite important. We spoke about wearing tefillin all day. We're going to end off over here. So in Masechet Benachot, okay, back to Masechet Benachot. Gemara says like this: Ad matay menichin? When do you wear tefillin? So Tanakama says Ad shetishka achama till sunset. Rabbi Yaakov says Ad shetichlerig minashuk, like there's lacharika candles right till the last guys are working in the marketplace. The Chachamim, that's the halacha, says Ad zman shad, you go to sleep. It's clear for all of them over here that tefillin you can wait for at night, not a problem whatsoever. The Rambam says no. The Rambam says man achat tefillin b'yom lo b'lalish neimar miyamim yamim chuka zohi mitzvat tefillin. He says that he limits it purely. He got a pasuk says the Rambam only during the day, not during night. But if you see here, they say here, the English editors of this Tzurba. They say, that we should at least note that according to most opinions, including Shulchan Aruch, on a Torah level, tefillin should be worn at night as well. Chazal instituted a decree not to wear tefillin at night, because you might fall asleep and get all the other problems that come with it. Right? But the Rambam is a notable minority opinion who holds that even on a Torah level, tefillin should not worn at night. And therefore, he says, we have the concept of mitzvah lasheh shazman, grammar, time-bound mitzvah, is not that you can't wear it at night, that you don't wear it on Shabbos and Yontif. Okay, so I think that's amazing to know that. The tool already writes, right? Because the question is, how far back did people stop wearing tefillin during the whole day? So the tool who lived like between 1250 and 1320, like somewhere around that time over there. So that's a hell of a long time ago. 1200, what's that? That's like 1800 years. Yeah, 1800, eh? 800, sorry. Oh, wow. I thought it was longer. Only 800. Okay, not so long ago. I was all excited there for a second. Only 800. Okay, 1,000 years more or less, right? Okay, that's a long time, I suppose. It says, "V'ha'id neshen rekin laniach ele b'shach tefila." Right? You can be careful, main to that time. So he says, already nowadays, Shulchan Aruch says that you should wear it the whole day. However, because we're concerned about a clean body and people not losing focus, and people aren't able to care with it, so therefore the minhag today is not to wear it the whole day. However, you should at least wear it for Kriya Shema and tefila. Mishnah Berurah says as well. This is where the bilag we spoke about at the very, very beginning, right? Of like my Rosh Hashanah in South Africa and many. That's for the average person. But Anshay Mase, right? I have that on Anshay Mase in English, like great people. This is that, but scrupulous people, right? No, again, they'll mod achar tefillah, but tefillin, they should learn a little bit after davening with their tefillin on. Ach yesh zahesh lo redaber behem dvarim betalim, not to talk nonsense, to be vat isur dvarim betalim hu, by dezeh lehesech adat. You'll end up coming to have hesech adat. And all of those things. Now, I wanted to read over here. They've got a great note 12 over here. Right, just let's quickly look at the Pesukei Tshuvas, then we'll end off. The Pesukei Tshuvas over here, that's Rabbi Rabinovich, says, "Omnam im kavanato retzuyah leman yuchal hashev etfilin od zman b'chinin ubelimut Torah." A person's got the right intentions, so he should maybe sit a little bit and learn off the davening. Rashai lachil la'kel b'zeh. You can even drink a bit for the tom that it chazek and eat a little bit so you can be strengthened. The chayna agug deishal. So the gedolim said that, right? Aval im bedato kfar lachlot zatfilin. If he's got intention to take them off, nachonim anag gamin achilu shtia koshu ba'od shtifin. But you're going to take them any moment now. Just wait till you take them off and don't eat with them. There was a question was asked of Dov Lior, was Rosh Hashiva of Kiryat Arba. Okay, he said to him, there's a question here that people, Shiva students who want to wear tefillin all day. So he said to them, that's permitted if they're in a group of at least 10 minyan, not just on their own. That's really like Yehora. That's a bit, you know, haughty. If you're in a group of 10 guys, you're all doing it, then it's okay, he said. Or if it's your own private home. Otherwise, he was against the idea of guys going through the whole day. And so look over here, there's note. Rishonim, footnote over here, footnote number 12, of page 39. Sometimes the footnotes here are really amazing. I mean, not all the time, but this is a great footnote. We'll end off with this. So he says over here, the short degree about the discussion we mentioned earlier on about wearing tefillin all day for a short amount of time, and is wearing it all day a rabbinic mitzvah or not? What story? It seems that Tosfot and the Ritva mitzvah do right to wear tefillin for a little bit of time. Once you've worn tefillin for a little bit of time, you yotze already in Doraita. Doraita is to put a tefillin and wear them. You have to wear them the whole day. You want to wear them yesterday, it's nice, but the mitzvah already Doraita is that. And he quotes the Prima Gadim over here that we've discussed the Prima Gadim before. That Yosef Tum, we discussed the famous Posek on commentary on the Tur from the 1700s. And he says, yeah, he's unsure which approach is correct. right? Is it a mitzvah the whole day or not? He says that either conclusion one fulfills the mitzvah wearing tefillin even for a short time. Right? So that's, I think we can all rely on that. That wearing tefillin for a little bit of time, yotze doraita, and the rest of it all is a nice hidur if you can or you want to for a little bit there and then, but clearly yotze once you've worn tefillin for Chachrit, Krishma, and Shmonasha.